message this morning that I took is from one of my, it's my mom's favorite passage of scripture, and it's John 14, and I've entitled it, Heart Trouble. I'm not talking about our physical heart. I'm going to let the professionals take care of that, like my doctor, Dr. Stone, and I let him deal with my old ticker. And what I'm talking about this morning is our spiritual heart. And we each have one. Whether we're spiritual or not, we have a spiritual heart. God has instilled in us. And this message is also one of testimony. Things that I have experienced this past 5 years, and more so this past 6 months, such as rejections, defeats, failures. And we all experience those things, and enough of them can create a negative feeling to destroy us. You know, we can get so down, so depressed that we don't see any way out, and it can really take a toll on us. But it's when we reach that point that we need to be very careful. Because the most painful wounds are not the scars that are outwardly seen, but it's the hidden wounds that are deep in the heart, deep in our spiritual hearts. And being hidden, they're often the most dangerous. Setbacks in our lives, struggles in the journey, trials that fall across the way can take the joy out of living. And God did not promise us our life as a bowl of Cheerios. Cheerios still have some pits. He didn't promise us rain and sunshine every day. He even said that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. We are being tried. Sometimes God allows these trials and temptations to try us, to see where we stand, to help us build character, perseverance, and most importantly, to build our faith and trust in Him. Our faith gets weakened, and if we collect enough hurts, it will stop us from wanting to press forward. Do you ever feel like giving up? Did you ever feel, I've had enough of this. I can't do this anymore. Even success can make one the target of criticism. I've heard that. I've heard people say that in my own life. Do not let the hurts hurt you. And I speak from experience. Please don't let them hurt you. I could tell you things that have happened in my life this past 5 years would make the ear, for those who have ear, stand on your head or on your arms, whatever the case may be. Remember good old Mr. Job? Do we remember Job? You know, oftentimes, yeah, I remember him. He went through a lot of stuff, but do we really, really remember? He was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. He was very successful. I could say he was the perfect man. He had a family. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. A beautiful family. He was considered the greatest of all men of the East of that time. But yet, he lost it all in the twinkling of an eye. He lost his health, his wealth, and family. And he hurt. I mean, he hurt so bad, he even asked God, you know, why didn't I just die in my mother's womb? But Job was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. There was no going for the 10th count. And yes, I have been knocked down. I've had things that have been going along so great in my life for so many years. And then almost in a split second, all changed. And I appreciate that song we sang in our song service, I Know the Master of the Wind. Yes, my boat of life sails on a raging sea. And the storms blow, but I noticed that the little words are a little different than the one I know. It says that Satan can bring me low, but he can't bring me down. Try as he might. I have to laugh at him sometimes because, you know, boy, I'm saying, well, boy, you know, you're hitting the lost cause here. I mean, you know, can't you just say you had enough and give up? But no, I said to myself, no, I said, you're persistent, ain't you? You're a real pain. So I know what it's like to hurt. And so did his wife and friends. As you remember, his wife said, Joe, why don't you curse God and die? But as Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You see, Job had it all figured out. He knew that whatever happened, that he knew there was a time coming, because he even said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So the worst thing he figured could happen is, I will die, but I'm going to see him again anyway. I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to be risen in the resurrection morning. But how could Job possibly make that statement? I mean, how do we possibly make that statement when we're hurting so bad that we're breaking in two and we, you know, we cry out to God and sometimes, you know, you feel like your prayers maybe are just hitting the ceiling? I know I felt that way. And I felt like sometimes, well, God, have you left me? But let me tell you, when God is silent, he's working on a plan. And the old saying is, when a test is being given, the teacher is quiet. So after undergoing all of that hurt, how could he say that? How can we say that? I read that it's a common thing, sight to see the whales along the California shoreline, stopping alongside rocks as they migrate from Alaska to Mexico. And they scrape off these barnacles off their skin. You know, over our lifetime, we also pick up a collection of personal barnacles, which attach themselves to us like parasites, sapping the life right out of us. And they must be scraped off. So how did Job do it? He done it the same way that we can do it. And we can do it, folks, because we have the mighty Creator. We have the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have our mighty great physician. We have our great Redeemer. And it's done through faith. Yes, it's great. You can have faith when you're up on the mountain. You got a pile of mountain. You're in the mountain. You got a pile of faith. You can conquer anything. You could conquer the world. But Jesus needs to see what happens to us down in the valley. Because he's preparing us for heaven. He's preparing us for the time that's coming on this earth. And to prepare us, it's going to take time. Job scraped the barnacles off, but it was painful. The sores that he had, he'd scrape it all off. And that's the same way it is with us. When we are down in the valley. It's painful. Yes, it's really, really painful. Job's scars would remain, but his life was put back together. And the only medication for this type of heart trouble is a strong belief in God. How strong is our belief in God? How strong is my belief in God? You see, his wife and friends couldn't do it. Only God could. Give him that belief. Job says in chapter 42, verse 2 of Job, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. God can do. Don't let us limit what God can do. You know, let's not try and do sort out through our problems on our own, because we never will. And don't limit God. God can do much more than we ask. He can do abundantly much more than we ask or even think. So if you and I have accumulated some barnacles along the way that are sapping our spiritual life, stealing our joy, causing pain, then this passage, if believed and received, is able to scrape them all away, restore your joy and peace again. If you're having spiritual heart trouble, there is help here for you today. Now we're going to look at that text in John 14, because it tells us how. In verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I know some people say, well, and I've had people say to me, how do I believe in God I can't see? How do I believe in someone I cannot see? Well, I said, do you believe in the wind? I said, you can't see that, but you believe in it. So here's verse 1 that tells us there are fears to escape. Now, to get the context for this passage of scripture where Jesus is talking, we need to understand what precipitated these works. So we have to go back a little bit to chapter 13 of John. And here Jesus and his disciples have just finished observing the Passover. They enjoyed a pleasant meal, and we all, I know as Seventh-day Adventists, love to eat, especially potlucks. So they enjoyed, maybe it was a potluck, and they enjoyed a pleasant meal. Jesus has now washed the disciples' feet, and then he drops a major bombshell right in their lap. He is going to be betrayed by one of their own number. Verses 21 to 30 in chapter 13. He also tells these disciples that he's going to be going away. And they also find out, to add insult to injury, that Peter is going to deny him. I'd say there was a bittersweet there with those disciples. They were hurt. They were going to kill this their friend. And Peter was going to even deny that they knew him. And then after all that, he's going away. Their hearts were broken. Their confidence was shattered. And they felt devastated. Have you often felt devastated? Your confidence shattered. You're hurt. And that is why Jesus, he saw their hurt. He saw their devastation. He saw their sadness. He saw their broken heart. And that's why he gave us, Jesus spoke the precious words of chapter 14. We need to remember this. When the tough times come our way, trials, temptations are slated for all God's children. We are not going to escape it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. We are going to be faced with trials and temptations. John chapter 16, verse 33 tells us we shall have tribulation. Job 14, 1 and 5 and 7 remind us that trials are part and parcel of the human existence. In fact, many people are called upon to face their worst nightmares in this life. And the simple truth is this, hard times will come. And I am experiencing that right now in my life. But in the midst of our difficulties, we have peace. I have peace. In verse 1, the word let, the word let of chapter 14, verse 1, is the call for you and I to be involved in the troublesome times of life. We are not called to be sitting idly by while our lives are destroyed before our very eyes. We just don't take a back seat to it all. We just don't give up and say, okay, that's enough. I'm not doing this no more. I've had enough. What will be, will be. We have a recourse in the time of trouble. Let's turn to Philippians, shall we? Verse chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. If you have a financial trial, be anxious for nothing. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell him what you are feeling. And as Jabez prayed, oh, that the Lord would bless me indeed. That's a beautiful prayer. I've been studying that prayer this past week. Can't seem to get out of that prayer. You know, when you look at First Chronicles, chapter, the first three chapters, it's all about all the begatting stuff and who had who and who had that and who married who and whatever. But then you get into chapter 4 where it's still there, but you get that little passage that Jabez prayed. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. A glimmer from all that boring stuff we just read. This is a wonderful passage. If you've never read the book, The Prayer of Jabez, I advise you to get it. It's a beautiful book and it's a beautiful prayer. I pray it every day, every morning. And then I said, Lord, I'm now going to stand back and watch what you do. If we look at Matthew chapter 11, we go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And these are Jesus' words that he spoke right from his mouth. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The best plan of escape from our fears is to run to the safe arms of Jesus Christ. You are never safer than when you are in his arms. He made us. He can take us out. Because he even said, don't fear man who can destroy your body. But fear God who can destroy both body and soul. Jesus loves us. It's just not a children's song that we sing in Sabbath school. He loves us. The Bible tells us so. Do we fully grasp his love for us? Don't let fear and worry ruin your life. Instead, bring your fears to Jesus Christ and he will give you peace in place of fear. Also in verse 1 of John chapter 14, not only is there the word let, but there's the word believe. It's a life-altering word. The word believe means to think, to be true, to be persuaded of, to have confidence in. If Jesus Christ died on the cross to take our sins away, and we know that he did, if he did that for us. Don't you think it's time that we believe and trust him? Literally, the word means to exercise faith in someone or something. And the verse speaks of two different kinds of beliefs or faith. First, there is a sustaining faith. Ye believe in God. This is the kind of faith that will bring you through the valleys. Believe in God. Believe in God. He will bring you through, no matter how far down in the drugs of the valley that we are. He will bring us through. It's the kind of faith that believes that God exists and he is in absolute control of all things. Nothing happens in this world that God has not allowed. Even President Trump, bless his heart, was put in power because it's God's purpose that he is there. He is part of the puzzle of the end time. If he wasn't to be there, God would not have put him there. We are here today because God has put us here. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, when it comes to God, we can have faith in his promises. Romans 4, 21, Romans 8, 28. We can have faith in his power. Do we realize who we are serving today? He has power, not earthly power. He has a magnificent heavenly power. He created this ball that's floating in space, that we walk on, that I drove on from St. John's to here. And as I was driving in the Trans-Canada, I had on the Gaither homecoming crowd, and there he was. Big John Hall was saying, how big is God? How big and wide his vast domain. You and I can't do anything. I cannot change the situations that I get in. I cannot make people do anything. I can go, like for instance, if I'm looking for a job, I can go with a resume, I can have an interview, but I can't make them give me the job. Only God can. And he's done that numerous times. We can have faith in his plans. Jeremiah tells us that God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to prosper, to have peace and joy. If we can ever learn to trust God completely without reservation, then we have the very tool in which we need to loosen Pharaoh's grip on our lives, and that's faith. As soon as we come to the place where we know God will do as he has promised, and we leave life up to him and his will, then we are free. We can trust in the Lord. Right now I'm going through a situation that I have no control over. I took it all to the Lord in prayer, and I told him because of this situation that this could happen and that can happen. But I said, Lord, I have no control over this. And I'm going to take you now. You told me to test you. He tells us in Malachi to test him. So, Lord, I'm going to test you now that you'll open up the windows of heaven. He's got so much that he wants to bless us with. Are we afraid to ask because we're afraid that, well, maybe, you know, I shouldn't ask for that because that's too much, or I feel guilty by asking for that much and I'm doing wrong. No. God tells us we don't have because we don't ask. And we need to ask. Get serious. Now, I know there are, and I've heard flicking the channels on the television sometimes, oh, well, I went and prayed to the Lord to give me a big Cadillac. Or to put $1 million in my bank account. Well, to me personally, I don't agree with that. But we need to go to God and ask for his blessings. And when we ask for his blessings, he gives more than what we need. He'll take care of that problem area in your life. And he'll do it in a way that you will be astounded. We need to go to God, ask his will, and give us his blessings that he wants to give us. And then there's another kind of faith. It's called saving faith. Because he says, believe also in me. It's not enough to just believe that there is a God. I mean, Satan believes it. And we all know he's not following him, following God. Satan believes there's God. James 2:19. To be saved, a person must believe the gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It really happened. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a little tale about Easter Bunny. It's about Jesus Christ, the one that made us, who formed the world. But don't stop by merely believing that these were actual historic events. Embrace them by faith and be saved by the grace of God. John 14:6. Embrace Jesus Christ by faith and let's rest our future in his capable hands. You're going to be surprised. You know, you just take your future, rest it in his hands. He wants to know everything. Right down to the ladies, if we're going to buy a pair of shoes. Lord, is it your will for me to buy these shoes? You know, some people may laugh at that, but it's true. We are to go to him for everything. Maybe if you bought that pair of shoes, maybe you might fall down on the heels if they're high and break an arm. Or maybe those shoes are going to hurt your feet. But he wants us to go to him for everything. In verses 2 to 3, there is a future to envision. And I love this part. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It includes a precious place. In my Father's house are many mansions. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, we are not home yet. And while we're still on this earth, we will face trials and troubles. And they will follow us wherever we are headed. But praise God, the burdens of life are only temporary at best. 1 Peter 1:6. Brothers and sisters, we are just pilgrims and strangers passing through enemy territory this morning. But I guarantee it will get better, far better, when we get home. And I don't mean our earthly home. I mean our heavenly home. After all, the best is yet to come. If we are saved, there is a place for us in the Father's house. And one day, very soon, we will be going home. There'll be no more death, no more pain. And praise the Lord, after this past 2 weeks, no more dental offices. No more cancer. No more diabetes. No more arthritis and anything else you can think of. There'll be no more. When we're caught up in the air to meet our Lord with the loved ones who have been laid to rest and they go first, we go behind, we'll be saying goodbye to the funeral homes, goodbye to Barrett's and Call's and Carnell's and all of them. Goodbye to the cemeteries. Goodbye to the cancer clinics. We're not home yet. And it also includes a powerful promise. I will come again. Every day you and I live with one of the greatest promises the world has ever known as our support. we have our Savior's promise that he will personally. He's not just going to send the little angel or Gabriel. He's coming personally to take us home. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We are soon going home. If we look around at the television, the news, the ABC World News, or the BBC News, or any of our news stations, I don't bother to look at ours anymore because there's nothing there. Our local news, I find, is all fishy. But because I know Bible prophecy, I love to watch the news of the United States and the rest of the world. And from what I see, we are going home very soon. We will have to be careful now what we eat because there could be cannabis in the food. We have to be careful of what we say because, well, it may not be politically correct. Well, I don't care if I'm politically correct or not, but I'm going to preach what the Bible says. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. I don't sugarcoat what the Bible says. You know, in fact, Jesus said he wanted us to know what he said, what he meant. So he restated his inventions in the last chapter of the book of the Bible, Revelation 20, 22. He says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. He is preparing us for our heavenly home. He's preparing us for the trials on this earth. We need to place full faith, our full trust in him. Yes, I know sometimes it's hard to do. And being human beings, we find sometimes that, well, maybe I just need to help you along here, Lord. I've tried that. I got into more of a mess than I ever did. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I give up. Here it is, it's all yours. Come and fix what I really screwed up. Are we afraid of anything today? Jesus can replace our fears with his precious peace. Who are we trusting in to take us to heaven? We all believe in everybody. I don't care. An atheist says they don't believe in God, but they believe something. And it's funny, because when it comes to the end of their life, the first thing they want to do is cry out to God. Have we been able to get our eyes above our trials and see the gates of home? We need to focus. Don't look at the things that are here now. Don't look at the trials, tribulations of the past and the present. Focus on Jesus coming. If the burdens of life have gotten you down, come before the Lord. Let him help you cast your gaze higher than this earth. There is help and hope in Jesus. Regardless of what we need today, it's in him we'll find all the answers. There's nothing else we can do but trust him. And yes, if we trust him and put our faith in him, he will get us safely home. And I pray this morning that as we make that commitment, each one of us, me included, that no matter what happens, we continue to follow Jesus. This past few weeks, I have been cut hours where I work. This week, I've been cut even further. So I have 20 hours this week, instead of the 35 hours I would have per week. And I Soon as I saw the schedule, I thought, Lord, I still have bills that need to be paid. I said, is there going, once, of course, you know, once the government takes their little cut, not left much. But I said, Lord, one thing I will not stop doing, I will not stop my tithe and offering. I said, Lord, I don't care if I got to go out and pick dandelions to eat. I am not taking my commitment to you. So you said in Malachi that try you and you would open up the blessings of heaven, the windows, and pour out blessings that I cannot receive. So many. So Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't get paid now until 2 weeks from now. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to go on and do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to sing. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to love Jesus Christ to pieces with all my heart. Because I know he loves me. And he's going to take care of what we all need. And if you've got a sickness, now I got to go back to the doctor this week because my blood work came back. So she said she wants to see you. I had this thing in my head checked, this tumor. So Bill's kind of worried. I said, Bill, what are you worried for? What's the purpose? You're not going to change anything. But God knows. And we're being tested right now. And I said, I don't know about you, but I want to come out shining as gold, as the Bible tells us. He's preparing us for end time. How we do now determines how many times around the mountain we have to go. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. And say as Job said, though they slay me, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. If I die, I know he's coming to get me at resurrection morning. So what's the worst can happen? I die. No big deal. Death's not no big deal if you know Jesus Christ.